Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Inner Miami Show. I'm one half of your hosting duo, Brandon Griffin, and with me is Mike Tata Out Longin. How you doing, man?
I mean, let's. I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that today, right? Like, that was the worst loss of Inner Miami's fairly young career. It was a loss in a spectacular fashion. The only silver lining is I don't have to pay for more tickets for CCC. and I just don't think that's the silver lining I want. But
well, no, I mean, because you probably weren't going to have to pay because we didn't have many opportunities for home games, right?
No, but CCC, it's always home and home. So I still would have
That's right. I'm thinking League Cup.
Yeah, so we I mean, that's a silver lining. I know we're going to get into it, but I think Tata did you watch, like, I know you're watching, but you're watching with no devices, right? And kind of with about 10 minutes left, they focused on Beckham just sitting there. And I was trying to imagine what was going through his head at this catastrophe, this disaster class he was watching on his own dime. And man, it had to be an interesting thought.
You know, you almost have to wonder if he was like, was he obviously he probably was upset with the result, but was he thinking, oh man, this is what's happening? Or was he looking around the stadium and going, cha-ching?
No, he's a competitive athlete. He wants to win. And you got to imagine, it's got to be so hard for the owner of the club to stay on the sideline. Like, you know, he has to be going, I'm just going to call Martino right now. I'm just going to go do it. He needs to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is.
I don't think so. Bex has never been that type of owner. And like, if he was going to do that, he would have done it with his boy Phil.
Listen, don't forget, and I don't know how many people know this, Bex's suite. So you see, basically you see it from the outside. It's Bex's suite's seats and then our players. What most people don't realize is he actually has a window, an open door behind the players. So he can be yelling at any coach without ever anyone ever seeing it.
That's not his style.
I know, but you gotta manage. It's gotta be hard sometimes.
It's hard for us, and we don't own the team to sit there and have to watch shit like this. So
I see, as you know, as a parent, they've really gotten strict as parents of like, when you're watching your children play, you are not supposed to coach them from the sideline. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut. You're not supposed to, and it's really hard. And when you've got a multi-million dollar investment in a team to watch everything go wrong,
which it did last night.
Well, almost everything.
I think you're romanticizing him a little bit too much.
He's a beautiful man. He's easy to romanticize.
He's easy to think romantically about. But what I'm saying is he listen, man, this dude's gonna, when this club sells, he's gonna make a ton of money, and he may not be happy with the result, but I don't know how much he's like, I want to run on the field. Because if that's what he felt like, if he felt like he needed to call up Tata, I don't think Tata would have flown home with the team from Monterey.
And again, we're just jumping right into this, and I think this would be a lot of what this show's about, and I'm dying to get Mike V on here, because Mike V called the lineup, by the way, but
he did, and it was completely sarcastic.
I know
he meant to call it.
I this was, you know, it's funny. You said weeks ago, if we crash out of CCC, Tata's out. And first off, I never understood what crashing out meant.
This is
good news. I saw it. Like, that was crashing out. Like, it was as bad as it gets. And we never scored a goal in run of play. Like, that hasn't been said a lot yet, but I'm just going to say it. No goals in run of play, both off of set pieces. Our offensiveness was gone. That's a disaster. It was a disaster. It was crashing out. And it all goes back to tactics.
Right. And, you know, I think, I called it before Monterey. Like, a lot of people just assume, like, oh, it's Monterey. That's where Rodolfo Pizarro came from. That's where Diego Alonso came from. They suck. They're not that great. Monterey is and somebody in one of the comments for one of our videos, and I don't remember, I want to say it was Ash, who's normally in chat with us, said Monterey is not the is not Bayern Munich. They're not Man City. They're not Barcelona or Real Madrid. Like, they're beatable. Monterey is that in CONCACAF. And I don't think any MLS, I don't think enough MLS fans understand that. Like, but they are they're in the Club World Cup constantly. They've actually beaten European teams in the Club World Cup. Like, that's our region's Bayern Munich.
But not to take away from that, but this was, you could have won this game. Like, maybe three times out of 10,
there was no chance. Monterey gave us zero chances. We could not have won this game with the way
Tata
Monterey
played. Tata Martino gave us zero chances. Listen,
we'll get into Tata, but I think it is very unfair to discount how well Monterey played in both legs.
No, and
you
Monterey,
can't say Tata lost this on his own, but Tata helped a lot.
No, I'm going to disagree, because shocking. Tata played. I know. Well, we wouldn't have a show if we agreed on everything. It'd be a very boring show. Tata played into Monterey so heavily that it was impossible to win on those tactics. If he had done other things, if he had forced Monterey out of their game plan instead of Monterey attempting to force us out of ours and us sticking with it for no apparent reason, like, it's a different game. And so I think it's winnable. Just, you can't let them do what they wanted to do. They wanted
this
to run
game
a high
was
press
not
on
winnable.
It.
We it never was. Looked like we were in this game.
I agree.
No.
Hold on.
How can you say this was a winnable game when we didn't look like it was winnable? Because, and we had the big four on the field. It wasn't winnable.
Because I'm going out Pablo's comment right here. Tata was Monterey's 12th player.
Right. But you're saying Tata lost this game and won it for Monterey. And what I'm trying to express to you is Monterey is a fucking good team.
I'm not disagreeing.
Yes, you are.
No.
You said, yes. You I've just said, said that Tata won this game and we shouldn't give Monterey credit. That's what you insinuated.
No, I did
just
not say
now.
Those. No.
That is exactly what you insinuated.
I'm saying it was a winnable game.
It was
not. It was.
The we're going to go back to leg at home was winnable. The first the game at home was winnable. This was not. We never looked competitive. It wasn't winnable
because we didn't want to be competitive because we played
That's
a game
not
plan.
True.
We had a game plan that played into their strengths and our weaknesses. You can't win in that matter, in that way.
Okay. Like,
if you're
so
playing,
I'm going to go back to something I told you last episode. All right. I would challenge you before you make statements like that to watch the opposing team play.
I am
because
not taking
neither game. No, neither game was how Monterey likes to play. Neither game.
Oh,
Monterey played their game plan.
Watching, they look just
there were
the
moments.
Same as,
no, they didn't.
No, hold on.
They look just the same as the first leg, and that's fair.
That's not what I was going to say.
But that's not how they play.
Hold on, sir. You can't interrupt me and answer my own, take over my own statement and answer a question I didn't ask. I was going to say they looked exactly like they did against Cincinnati, and the same attacking, the same high line aggressiveness that they played against Cincinnati is what we saw again last night. And we can. Like, there's ways to beat a high line and a high press, and we didn't attempt to. I'm not saying 10 times out of 10 we could win that game. I'm saying 2 to 3 times out of 10, Monterey was beatable with the players we have and a competent coach. And we didn't have a competent coach. He set us up for failure.
But we knew we didn't have a competent coach going into this, and you just said it was winnable.
I didn't say, you know, with Tata.
Mike, that's what you
were still, but
Mike, you just said this is a winnable game.
It
so
is.
It's not. Not
with a
Tata.
Competent coach. With a competent coach. But
Mike, that's not what you said.
If we
what
if
you
we
said to lead this off is this is a winnable game.
Granted. If
with,
we play the 4-3-3.
Mike, but that's not it. You can't say if this is winnable.
No, I can because we use
if
the 4-3-3.
If we have Pep Guardiola, sure, it was winnable.
No, hold on. If we use the 4-3-3. That we used in the first leg, in the second leg, it's a different match. We all, listen, every single person I know, and you know, and everyone on Twitter, the minute that game, the formation came out, we all sighed because we all knew what was going to happen. The only person on earth that doesn't seem to know what's going to happen when you do a 3-5-2 and Inter Miami is Tata Martino. But if we did the same game plan, the same 4-3-3, that is a much different game. If we have someone else in attacking, different game plan. If we put Jordi Alba up and Negri in, different game. It's a winnable match. It's not doesn't mean you're going to win. Winnable doesn't mean you have to win. Winnable means it is possible to win that match.
Okay. Less than 20% chance we won that match.
I can live with that statement.
Going
I'm not
that.
Disagreeing
That's
with that.
That's fair. I will agree with you there.
That's what
but
I'm
when
saying.
When you as a team manage 5 shots, one on target, that's pathetic.
It is, but that's what we need to get into, because to me, this entire match was tactics, not players. And we'll get
it
into
wasn't, it wasn't just tactics. There are a lot of players out there who are not playing for the team.
Well, I'll let you take that.
You'll
one.
Agree with that.
I'm not disagreeing with that statement.
Right. So anyway, for those who haven't seen it or didn't watch it, first of all, congratulations. You didn't miss anything. Starting lineup was Callander at the back five with Alba at the left back, Allen at left center back, Freire in the middle, Alves as the right center back, Weigand as the right back, Gressel, Busquets, and Gomez in the middle, with Busquets kind of playing that holding midfielder role, and then up top with Suarez and Messi. And it ended up in a 3-1 loss. Monterrey won pretty handily. And, you know, we'll get into the details and stuff now, but did just want to give a quick recap in case there's anybody who didn't know or lives under a rock and didn't know any of that.
And we should cover it. So the goals against, the first goal was Drake Callander. It was Drake Callander own goal, except Brandon Vasquez scored it. He gave the ball to Vasquez, and Vasquez like looked at him and tapped it in. Yeah. Like it was on the playing field. The second goal, it was outside the 18. I don't know the name of the attacking player. He came across horizontally across the 18-yard box and beat three guys. We've seen, if you watch Premier League, you see this kind of goal on a regular basis. Like, he just has a step on everyone, takes the shot and beat everyone. It was a beautiful goal, and I don't want to take anything away from that goal.
I think the first goal was Gallardo. Goal was Gallardo from the midfield.
It was gorgeous. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just,
yeah,
I've watched that goal 100 times on YouTube and 100 players.
You couldn't have stopped it.
No. And anyone who's saying like defensively, they all had a shot at it. And I've seen Virgil van Dijk miss, you know, not stop that. I've seen name your Silva, like name your center back in the Premier League. It happens.
But it's not even so much like a defender missed it. Like, when you take a shot outside the box, like, that's a really low percentage shot. Yeah. So normally as a defender, when you force somebody into that kind of shot, that's like a victory.
Yeah. If
it goes in, like, I'm not too concerned about that. The Drake thing was horrible.
And we're going to get into Drake later, but it was such a boneheaded, stupid move. Like, you don't even know what to say beyond it was horrible. And after Drake, that was the first goal. We weren't out of it yet. Second goal really hurt. And the third goal, remind me, it was Gomez. It was a giveaway by Gomez, essentially, that they just shoved it back down our throats.
Yeah.
So, two boneheaded mistakes and a beautiful goal. Like, I just cannot take anything away from that second goal. It was as gorgeous a goal as you're going to see.
Well, then I think, like, the other thing to point out is, like, Monterrey was pretty much living in our penalty box. 17 shots, 9 on target.
But let's be clear, we were inviting them in. Like, we were trying to play out of the back over and over, and they weren't letting us get the ball out. They were aggressive.
And we'll go into it, but let's kind of back up to like what our initial reactions were when that lineup came out, because we were texting, because that's what, before I went device free for the rest of the night, which is probably a good thing. You know, I think I sent it to you, or I don't know. I can't keep track of who sent it. It was sent out in our chat. And I think we both had the same reaction. Like, why are we going defensive when we're chasing?
It was, It was everybody. You know, you went on, Scotty posted it, Batter Herons posted it. Anyone I follow on Twitter posted a comment along the lines of, why are we going back to 352? And can we switch to put my slide? Like, this is my moment, I feel like, just to bring this up. So,
well, I figured we kind of get the game out of the way a little bit, but
just feel,
we like can if you want.
Let's just do
all it. Right, go for it.
So, did a little research. I wasn't the only one today, and I just need to put this out there. So we've played 12 matches under Tata, five of those matches in a version of the 352, 532, however you want to call it. And by the way, actually, if you look at their lineups, they actually change. Sometimes they call it a 5-3-2 and sometimes 3-5-2. And the other seven matches in a 4-3-3. Under Tata, in a 5-3-2, one win, one draw, three losses. Under Tata in a 4-3-3, three wins, three draws, one loss. We get 4 points from the 5, 12 points from the 4, coming out to a 0.8 points per game for 5s, a 1.7, twice the points per game doing 4-3-3. Like, this is not even a conversation anymore. We are clearly a better team in the 4-3-3. Like, this, it's, well, I think like you sometimes get emotional and say, oh, 3-5-2, it's horrible. But then you look at the numbers and you go, okay, maybe it's just no, it's statistically showing we do not win.
Well, with this,
with this team, yeah.
Different 5-3-2 can look players. Nice.
Right. I think,
but not with Liverpool, this team and this player.
I think you was it Liverpool we've been talking using examples in the past of 5-3-2. I forget who we're talking about. Certain teams with certain players,
yeah, like City kind of does it, Liverpool does it sometimes, like when they're pushing up one of their backs. But
our team, the current Inter Miami, does not win in a 5-3-2. In fact, they only win 20%. Funny enough, to our comment earlier, there's a 20% likelihood in a 5-3-2 we can win that match.
Yeah.
Versus in a 4-3-3, it's like, what's three out of seven? 40% of a
something
win?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, 60% win or draw?
Yeah.
Pablo, we'll get started, but if anyone complains about center backs to me today, I'm just going to go off. So we'll get there in a minute, but the center backs did not lose this game.
All right. Whatever you say there, Skippy. But, and I think, you know, it's interesting because we talked about it last episode. We brought up your spreadsheet that you put together showing Tata versus Phil. And Taylor Twellman tweeted it out today and brought up and showed the winning percentage. And Phil Neville has a better winning percentage than Tata Martino.
And
it's
play.
Significant. Yeah. It's significant, too. Phil is close to 40%. Tata's like at 28 or something. And then actually, Danny from Battered Herons went back and fixed his numbers because his numbers were off.
But it's not, they're not even saying we need to bring Neville back. It's just showing Neville got run out of town,
right,
with his win percentage. And Tata's still being defended, as Mike V just kind of put out.
There are some that are still defending, but I'm seeing a lot more people on the Tata out train today. And I think it's only going to continue.
Well, it's where I kind of was going for. We can take down the slide. The newest, it's still like we need better defenders, more defenders. There is no argument. I'll give you a chance to make an argument. Center backs did not lose this game for us. And so anyone pointing out, whether it's Noah Allen or Frieri, as they're calling him, or Toto, they didn't lose the game for us. We just discussed all three goals were not in. Created by the center backs. It's by tactics.
All three goals. So, first of all, Allen started the sequence that caused the Gomez problem. Allen made a bad pass back to Gomez, and Gomez was trying to just shuffle it, no look pass it. So, I don't think it's fair because, personally, I think the entire team is responsible for last night's loss. Center backs included. I think it's fair to criticize everybody. Noah Allen experiment at center back, I think, needs to end.
I agree, but I'm tired of hearing the center back is the issue.
But the problem is the tactics that Tata is trying to play with the personnel that we have is causing these type of issues in the defense. Because very clearly, when Toto and Freire are on the field together in a back four, they hold it down defensively. In the first game, Alves had Brandon Vasquez in his pocket. Like, these are not bad defenders. They're being put in bad tactical positions.
Which is my point. There's not, I'm going to make the argument, in MLS, if you spend all your money on your attacking players, it is impossible to use a five-man back line. Because you're taking a pay cut. You're going to have to play your cheaper players in your back line.
So I'll refute on that a little bit, because Toto's an U22 DP. Like, it's not that we're not spending on the
But that's defense. One of the three.
Freire is not coming free.
But he's not at the level.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can't make it out that this defense is like, you know, just like guys out of the super draft. It's not like we have Ryan Saylor and
listen, my argument is that you can't blame the center backs and can't keep on saying defense. I don't agree.
You can blame everybody who went on the field last night.
No, but that's not what people are saying. The comments here is our only problem is defense. I have spent way too much time
on the interwebs. Our problem is the coach. And anybody who thinks our problem isn't the coach is ridiculous.
You're refuting my statement without letting me say it, which is if you go on the many chat rooms I was in today, again, I have a full-time job that, please, I hope my boss never watches the show, and here's how little I work. The most common comment, honestly, more so than Tata, at least maybe up till today, was the defense is our problem. And I will continue to completely disagree with that statement. Our coach is our number one problem. As such, our inability to score goals is our biggest reason we're losing matches, not a leaky defense. Yesterday was bad. That's what I'm pointing to make. You're disagreeing with me before I can make the point.
What I'm disagreeing with is anytime today, and I was in all those chats, anytime today somebody criticized the center back, you went after them with that argument. And I think what you're confusing is criticism from last night's game as to saying we need to buy center backs. Because somebody in one of the chats said Noah Allen is not a center back and was a problem last night, which he was. And you responded with that same argument. But somebody saying Noah Allen was a problem last night doesn't.
No, that wasn't what was said. They said he was the problem. There's a difference between the problem and a problem.
He was definitely the weak link in the center back.
But the center backs didn't cost us the game. The center backs did not cost us a game last night. Our inability to control the ball in the middle of the field cost us the game. When we got scoring chances, we didn't use them.
But cost us the game. But see, Drake, you can't say our inability to control the ball is what cost us the game when we had 60% of possession. We had 87% pass completion rate, which most of that was through the midfield. The midfield did not lose us this game. Gomez and Busquets played very well.
The ball never got forward.
But you can't, but
sitting there with the ball.
You just said that the midfield cost us this game because the ball wasn't going anywhere in the midfield, and it was going in the midfield. But when you have Suarez, who has taken a lot of criticism today because he wasn't making runs, and Messi, who's very clearly not like 100%, like you don't have enough attacking players to make a difference. So It's not entirely fair to shift all the blame onto the attack. We can absolutely criticize the center backs.
But again,
because Gomez shouldn't have had to be so far back defending all the time.
But he
neither
should be.
Busquets.
He had but to
he
be.
He shouldn't have to be. If you have three good center backs, he shouldn't have to be.
But if you're, again, a high line and the coach, and this goes back to tactics, which will always go back to tactics.
And it's fine. And it's fine to criticize the tactics, but what I'm saying is it's also okay to say that these guys.
But that's not the comments I'm referring to, because you're making a comment that everyone had a bad game, including the center backs. I don't disagree with that statement. What my statements that I'm consistently refuting is that the center backs are the problem, that we will solve all of Inter Miami's woes with new defenders. That is the comment I'm refuting. Well, and you're not actually arguing against that. You're arguing against a different statement that I'm not saying.
But So the thing is, really, you can make that, you can make that argument with anything on the field, like, oh yeah, with this and that, but you can't solve all the problems with the roster rules the way they are. So you're,
I agree.
Like it,
and that's what I'm trying to say. That's, and that's the point that's getting to me, and I'm getting frustrated with is, and it's probably worth saying, when I played soccer, I was a defender, and so I'm frustrated with everyone saying the not everyone, I'm generalizing, a lot of noise that our entire problem is our defenders. And in my opinion, that is a lesser problem than our inability to get an attack going. And to me, now we're going to talk about managing. The issue consistently is we're not playing the right tactics at the right time, and Tata is a horrible coach. Like, we, the minute we saw that high press against us, we should have tried to do something else with the ball instead of passing it back. Because you're right, we had huge passing percentage because all we were doing was passing our own side of the field. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, Monterrey hopped our routes, and they all of a sudden got the ball, and they're shoving it back down our throats, which we knew, and we could, everyone could see it. You could hear the announcers were, I feel like the announcers got frustrated for us because they didn't, no one understood why changes weren't happening.
Well, and you know, now that you bring up changes not happening, Tata not making any subs in this game is criminal.
I would love did anyone pull a statistic the last time that happened? Because I was curious. I've never seen a game where that's happened.
I don't know, because that'll be so skewed. You'll get some like 12th tier game somewhere where it didn't happen when you try to look that up. But you know, like I hate to say it, but really, like, by the 60th minute, like, that was it. Like, we weren't coming back. And you, at that point, like, you gotta start taking some of these people off and trying something different if you want to try to come back. But also, like, at the same time, like, what if the field was a mess, and what if Messi gets hurt?
So I think there's two sub periods we should discuss, which is, one is before the game was out of control, and the second is when the game got out of control. I'm a Noah stan. I admit it. I don't argue. I don't pretend otherwise. He should have been pulled as early as could be. Probably at halftime. You could almost make an argument this game is important. Maybe even do it sooner once the tactics were completely blown out of the water. And brought in, I think, Afonso, which, by the way, super super random. I thought his name was Alfonso until I got yelled at by fans today. So
I misspelled his name every time I put it down.
I just, you know what it is? When I looked at it, I always saw the L.
You just skipped the L. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one like of those things. I always thought so. I would have brought in Afonso. I think you could have made an argument for bringing in Negri and moving Jordy up front, but Noah should have come out because I'm not going to argue. I've seen some ratings that actually had him rated the highest of the three, but I can accept the argument that he is the weakest of the three center backs.
Foot Mob, I think, had him as a 6.1, but
yeah, and everyone else was
when you're five, going up against a five.
but again, like, I'm okay, like, pull him and bring in our time. And I know you don't like to do pre halftime subs. I think in a game this important, when our tactics were that out of whack, it was logical. But at least at halftime, he should have been on the bench, and we should have gone to a 4-man back line. Like, someone asked, someone asked me, like, I made the comment about the subs, and like, who would you have changed? I'm like, immediately pull Noah, put another attacking player. This was a very easy substitution, and it would have added width to the field. Instead of taking everything to the center, we would have added some width. And Afonso is like a diesel engine, man. He's just going to keep on running at you over and over and over again, and maybe something breaks through.
Yeah, I mean, even in that scenario, like, we've seen it where we've kind of let Alba roam. Like, bring in Negri, and if you don't want to bring in Afonso in this type of environment, push Alba up the field.
Yeah.
And just get him forward. Give him the freedom to go forward, knowing he's got the cover. Because I think, he really is. Mike V. Tata is worse than stepping in shit barefoot. I don't disagree at all. It's just, it's so frustrating because, you know, at the 64th minute when that second goal goes in, and they're up 3-0. Like, the third goal went in at the 64th minute, didn't it? At that point, I didn't understand why he didn't pull people, because if we're at that point, we're eliminated. You're not scoring.
Okay, so I think that's substitution period number two. But I think everyone agrees there were changes possible. You bring a bench, and this is where I want to kind of call out. I think Tata made the comment, and we got to get better about bringing Tata quotes into this. But Tata made the comment somewhere.
I don't want to hear from him. I don't want
to I want to just rip them apart. Makes me feel better. But the comment was something lines of like, this was a big game, and I didn't feel like the subs were ready to kind of come into a game this big. Then why are they even there? Like, why'd you bring them? Like, what's your point of this? If you're not going to play them.
That's just another like example of what a shit coach he is, because then you're basically telling your players that are on the bench, you're not good enough to play in big games. Like, what kind of shit is that? Like, you've got like, listen, we talked about it on last episode. You saw Kramaski on Sunday. He wasn't up to it. But at the 60th minute, when you're down at that point, why not put him in?
Well, but who cares?
Why you had Afonso Sunderland, and Negri, Afonso. Bring in Ryan Saylor. If you are so rock hard about like playing the back five, bring in Saylor for one of the center backs. If you think they're not doing something, do something. Bring Borjelin in. Like, Borjelin offers something different than Suarez. Like, let's do something.
I was having a conversation with someone today, and they're like, if we're going to do all these crosses, because that's essentially what we went back to, you need someone like Borjelin in there. Yeah.
But again, you don't have Campana because he's hurt, but bring in Borj.
But the reason he couldn't, he wouldn't abandon the 5-3-2. He wouldn't abandon playing out the back. And so now we have this first set of reason to do subs. That's complete word. So now, fast forward to what's called the 70th minute, 75th minute, on a field that is as CONCACAF as it gets. Like, I love CONCACAF. I really do. Like, you know, those pitch guys were like, let's make this field as horrible. It'll look nice, but the grass won't be bound to anything. Maybe just put the sod down right now and like really screw with Messi. Because you know that they thought that is like, this wasn't an accident with this field. This is CONCACAF so hard.
Well, we talked about the field, but I also have to say, like, that is one of the most beautiful views from a stadium I think I've ever seen, with the mountains in the background. Like, that was awesome. That stadium.
It's a World Cup venue for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so now we've got a chippy game where fouls are starting to get intense. To be fair, so that Suarez foul that went to VAR.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can't yellow card on a VAR. Like, it has to be a red card or not. I think I'm kind of surprised they didn't go to the monitor. At least go to the monitor. But fine, it didn't. But it was getting chippy and bad out there. You leave Messi on. You leave Suarez on. Like, we have a game. Like,
yeah,
like not even 72 or not even 9800 hours later, like, it's coming up. We need points. I am not on board the fact that we're going to get into MLS Cup at this point. Like, we need points, and you leave them out there.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And you know, and one of the things that I've heard like nonstop about, like, oh, Tata won in Atlanta. I don't want to hear anybody say that anymore. And the reason being is MLS was a completely different league at that point. MLS had never seen anybody come in with those type of coaching qualities and lead a team successfully. Never.
And
in MLS were like US homegrown coaches who were doing their best, but weren't at the same level.
And he had a team that was built to win MLS. Not built to win necessarily anywhere else, but he had a really...
I think that team, I would say that team probably could have won, made noise in CONCACAF if they were in it.
That was a really good team.
But that was a very good team.
That was a very good team. Yeah. I know we were arguing, I think, last episode about Suarez versus, you know, 2018 Joseph Martinez. Yeah. But Joseph Martinez in 2018 was a hell of a player. You know? And he won on the back of his players, which isn't unlike what he's doing in MLS right now.
Well, what he's trying to do, but he's just putting a square peg in a round hole and saying like, oh yeah, my win percentage is great. It's great. I'm you know, oh yeah, back five, that's the way to go. When I know Allen's a center back, like, he just says these things and expects us to buy it.
Well, and his concept is, and I've heard this from the team, the reason he likes Noel on a center back is Noel can pass well. Well, that's fine and dandy until you have a team like Monterey who's better at attacking the pass than a 19-year-old is at making the pass. And well, that's a tactical failure.
Right. Well, that, and then, like, let's also, like, you put Noel and Brandon Vasquez next to each other, and there's a sizable difference.
Right.
Noel Allen can be good at passing, but he doesn't need to be a center back.
But it's funny, and maybe this is just the way the camera was angled. I don't feel like they were overly attacking Noel Allen. I thought they were attacking the other side. They're attacking Cello.
I think they were trying more to get Toto I think they're trying to piss Toto off.
I thought they thought Cello was weak. That was what I thought. Like he did not have a great game.
He did. He was better than most. I thought he had a pretty good game.
I know we're picking on Noah, and I'm not actually going to argue that. I understand why, but he wasn't the one that Monterey was picking on. They were picking on the other side of the field, for whatever reason it was.
Well, and I think that's probably has a lot to do with on that side. You had Gressel out there on the right side, and on the left side, you probably have a little bit tougher of a side with a physical center, Mick Gomez, like hanging out there. You've got Alba backing up Allen. Like, if you're going to play Allen, like in the back, like that's kind of where you want him to be because he's got the support around him. But I think they thought that like Toto was probably the weak link that they could get into because Gressel was going to leave on the attack. And
that makes sense.
I don't think they really knew what to expect from Weigand. And, you know,
I mean, Mike's making a decent, interesting point of on that side. That's where the better grass was. That
might could be it too.
Yeah. That's a decent argument. And again, they were attacking down the sides where the grass was good. And we were attacking down the middle where the grass was bad. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, again, we had a whole conversation. The pitch guy is a part of your team, whether you like it or not. And some pitch guys can do things better than others.
Well, that we don't know that the pitch guy didn't do his job. Let's be clear.
Oh, I think he did his job. Right. I'm saying it the other way around. Well. I'm saying I think he did his job extremely well.
Yeah. Because the pitch guy goes to the manager and say, hey, how do you want it to play Saturday? Or how do you want it to play Wednesday? And the manager say, slow it down. Oh, make it faster.
Listen, I don't know if you've ever read, I don't know if you've ever read like about golf, like setting up golf courses, but these are actual, like when they're setting up the Masters, these are discussions they have. How do they want the greens to play? They cut it.
These are conversations that pitch managers have with the coaches.
And I don't,
every coach,
I don't think that's, I don't think that's an MLS thing.
Soccer coaches that say like you're one of your closest relationships at a club is with the guy who cuts the grass.
And I think Monterey has a really good grass cutter.
So do we. Let's be fair.
Well, so what's interesting is I think we have a really good grass cutter. I don't think our coaches take advantage of that because I can't recall a game where we've ever gone, man, but the pitch kind of helped us out here.
But you can't, when you have Messi, like you can't have a torn up pitch like that. Like you have,
I'm talking about the three seasons before Messi.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about then, but
just, yeah, like, no, it was just,
but you know, okay, I think at this point, like if you're not on the Tata out train, I can't help you.
All right. So you're just, can we cover all the reasons Tata needs to go? So a 3-5-2. Look at this on camera. Where's my camera? 3-5-2, which is statistically the worst formation we can run. Mm-hmm. No subs.
EPL teams do that, Sean. If you ever notice, like sometimes they water at halftime. Last season, it was famous. Brighton, they overwatered the pitch on purpose to slow the ball down against Liverpool. They don't put like chunks of turf out like we saw last night, but they do mess with the way the field plays in every game. Sorry, yeah. Mike.
It's smart. So the Tata out train. So we've got the 3-5-2 to start with, playing from the back. And we haven't really covered this, I don't think yet, but the playing from the back was getting us beat. At the end of the day, I'm going to say it, which, okay, I've already said negative things about Noah. Let's take this all the way down. Calendar is not good at distribution. It is his weakness. He is great at
Calendar's a shot stomper.
He's not a sweeper keeper. And to play from the back, your keeper has to be a part of that playing from the back. And Calendar isn't good at it. And again, you're Tata. You do get to choose who your keeper is. Like, you can make a decision. If CJ is a better distribution guy, you could theoretically play CJ. I don't know if he is, but he theoretically could. But if you keep on putting Calendar into a spot where he's not good, sooner or later, a mistake is going to happen. And a mistake happening against the best team we're going to play makes sense, because I guarantee you Brandon Vasquez has seen every game that Calendar has played in this year, probably multiple games from last year from when he played in Cincinnati, and knew exactly that if you have Calendar on the ball, rush him and see what's going to happen, which is what he did. And that goes a band. That's tough.
So that's, I would argue that Drake really wasn't even under pressure when he made that move, though. Vasquez wasn't rushing him. Vasquez was standing there.
I know this is going to sound weird. I suspect when Drake has the ball at his feet, the pressure starts, and Vasquez staring him down.
So this will kind of bring me into something else. Well, we'll talk about this later. We'll talk about Drake later.
Huh. Yeah. So again, but I think this is a failure of tactics. We should not, once it was clear that Monterey was going to beat us in our back, you can't leave the ball back there. You can't. Like, you have to start playing long balls, playing down the sides. Do not keep on passing the ball where they're going to jump our routes. And I think that, of his many failures, at the end, that's when Monterey had our number and we were the game was over. So yeah, Tata out. Like, there's it's inexcusable. I think I'm going to go so far to say, if they had fired him last night, no one could argue that. Like, you were, Branton, I think Branton and Mike V, you had your moment last night. It should have happened.
Listen, I've been telling you it's going to happen, and I guarantee you the decision's made. The decision is made.
Too.
Problem is there's no one to replace him. And what they'll do is,
can I say that a different way? I'm going to interrupt real quick. I think the decision's made on both sides, and whoever the coach is not available yet. Like, it's not like. But I'm saying we've already hired our next coach. It's already done.
No, we haven't.
Maybe not in paper, but I think the verbal contract's done.
See, I think that this team really thought Tata was the man, and I don't think they're that far ahead. This team has shown time and time again that they
can't do that. So I know you hate ESPN. ESPN specifically for soccer.
ESPN doesn't know anything about soccer, yeah. Man.
But ESPN had an article before the season started that Tata was already on the hot seat. And I suspect that article.
Everybody had that article. The Athletic had the similar article.
But my point is, I suspect there was truth to it. And if you already have a coach on the hot seat, if you're any good at, like, you've already started the conversations with the replacements.
So I think it's important for the context of those articles. And if you read them, they were saying, like, because he's not on the hot seat because of performance right now. He's on the hot seat because he has to perform. And so yeah. I think that's a different situation.
That's not what the article said. The article said
that's what the Athletic said.
The ESPN one specifically called out the last few games of last season, the losing streak he was on, and that there was a need for him to turn it around or he would be on the hot seat. Slight variation of what you said, but that there was already a trend he had to stop, not a new trend from the beginning. And I think...
Whatever you say.
Well, you don't read ESPN, so you don't even know what the article said.
No, but, you know, just go ahead. Keep shouting me down when I'm trying to say the same thing. Go ahead.
You did that to me like four times since the start of the show, so you do not have a leg to stand on here. But then you're interrupting my train of thought. My point is, I think there was the conversations have already started, especially because I still think it's Xavi, which I'm now pronouncing right. And since he's already announced he's done over there, I think those conversations have been happening. You can talk now. I'll drink my rum.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't think that there have been conversations like that, because when things like that happen, they get leaked, and we haven't heard any leaks yet. I don't think when you have Tata as your manager, you don't go into the season with a backup plan. I think they went all in on him, because realistically, you can't say that Xavi is your backup plan. They didn't know he was leaving at the beginning of the season. Can't say that. Xavi could go anywhere else he wants, basically. He's done a hell of a job for his first coaching position.
So, a couple things. We found out he was leaving. Doesn't mean Jorge Mas hadn't met with him at some point and they had already chatted. Like, it's just, we know these things happen. Like, the Messi thing happened long before it was announced. Same thing can happen.
And we all knew it was happening.
But the Xavi rumors, have been getting hotter for a while now.
And so we're all throwing out these like big names and, Xavi, I've seen Valverde, Lopetegui is the name I've thrown out. Like, I thought, it's a possibility. Reality is Inter Miami really that good of a job? Is that really like, because Xavi could go somewhere else in Europe and get a position? Like,
so I'm gonna say this.
We assume that it's a big job because of Messi and Suarez, but I don't think it is.
I don't think that's why it's a big job. And you can listen, you disagree with everything I say, so disagree with this too. I was having a conversation about, of all people, Higuain today. I was at the park where I see Higuain on a regular basis. I was talking to our dad about Higuain, and we were commenting about how much we've all heard he loves Weston and he loves the American lifestyle and happiness. Coming to playing for Inter Miami or coaching Inter Miami alone is not the big job. Coming to America, getting your name known in America, getting the green card, getting being able to do business in America. It's the reason why a lot of the other players are coming too. And so that is worth something. Is that enough to overcome the fact that we'll pay you $5 million and EPL pay 15? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not the business decision guy on this, but there is reason to come here. That's more than just you get to coach Messi and Suarez. America is a stepping stone to a lot of things for these people. With the money they have and the investments they can make, they can't make if they never worked an actual job here. And we've seen that. You've seen that across sports. You see that with the way there's green card rules for businesses and stuff like that. Like, there is reasons to come here. It has nothing to do with coaching Messi. It's like a side benefit.
Yeah. See, I don't think for a coach, I don't think coaching in America, at least a top name like that, like in most cases, I don't think it's worth it for them. I don't think there's any incentive for that, because MLS is not a springboard for coaches.
It's a springboard for America.
Every coach. Yeah. But the thing is like, does Xavi, like, is that something he really cares about? Because he's a young guy. He's still got a long coaching career ahead of him.
Listen,
if that's what he wants, like,
if you said a couple years ago, Higuain's gonna come to America so he can retire here, I think we all could, like, why would he come to America? He's never lived here at all in his life. And yet that's what he did.
Well, I get that. And so maybe like a guy in like the chat is talking about Marino, like maybe that's a guy who comes over and he's at the end of his career. Maybe he wants to come over. But I think the list of people who want to come over and coach that would be at a level that we would think, like, at the same level the guys we're mentioning. Like, I just think it's probably somebody towards the end of their career who, to your point, is looking for a place to just kind of hang out and then retire. And, you know, I don't know.
My point being, kind of circle point, I think there was already verbal conversations happening from the beginning of the season about a backup to Tata. And it's funny because I almost feel like we've somewhat switched arguments here. Like, previously, you were the one, Tata out by end of season. Halfway through season, I said, no way. I have now kind of swept to your side, which is, I think it's going to happen. I think he's out before summer. And in this business, when you've got Messi as your player, you're not leaving things to chance. You've started the groundwork months and months ahead of time.
So I think I I just don't think we're that far along in negotiations with the next coach. I just don't. Because as a team, like going into the season, like the worst thing you could do is like let something get out that you're negotiating with another coach, or you've had a conversation with another coach, like that instantly ruins your locker room. So I don't think they're serious about going down the path of having a new coach. I mean, I don't think Tata makes it to the end of the season. I still don't think that. I think if they had somebody in mind, they would want to put pen to paper now. They would let Tata go, and they would put Javi in there for a couple games or whatever, like they did with Phil to Tata.
The problem is you're a long way off from the end of the European season. It's a long way.
But so I will say I do not think Xavi is coming here. I think Xavi has much more interesting opportunities to go and pursue in Europe. And I don't think funny. He would come here.
Skrilla just said that. Same thing. Xavi not coming to make it. All I can think of is that was the argument for why we weren't going to get Messi. And then it happened. It's a very different. Hold on. I know what you're going to say. It's a very different situation. See, I know what you're going to say. It's a very different situation. The economics are different. The playing is different. But this club has surprised us in the past. I'm not going to put it past the club. They could surprise us in the future. I'm hedging my bets.
All right. Whatever you think, that'll be what we'll go with then.
I think if Tata wins the MLS Cup, they're not going to be fired. So I'm going to say something. This was the argument. This is the conversation we had last week, that if he goes on a hot streak, it's going to be hard to fire him. I'm not convinced we get into MLS Cup. I've said this for weeks now. I'm tripling down on it at this point. The points aren't working. When I math the maths, I don't see us getting enough points to stay in there. Assuming we have Tata as our coach, we only win 15% of the time when Messi's on the field. Now we just learned via Taylor Twellman stealing my work, we only win 30% of the time in MLS when he's on the field. When overall, that's not enough to get you into MLS Cup. So everyone's making this assumption that we're going to get into MLS Cup. And once we get there, I know Branton always likes to say we are a cup team, but for MLS Cup, you have to get there. And there's nothing to make us think right now we're getting into MLS Cup. Yeah, you only have to get ninth place. Right now we're sitting in seventh.
In third place.
If you do look points at the per
standings,
game,
we're in points per game doesn't matter. That's not how you get into MLS Cup.
Yes, it
if
does.
If you look at the standings right now, we're in third place.
But that's because we have we've played more games than everybody else. We've had more ability to accrue more points. Points per game is the fine at the end of the day. Points per game is what gets you into MLS Cup. You have to be in the top 8 points per game to get in. Right.
So you want to talk about points per game. So Inter Miami is in the top 8 or top 9 in points per game.
We're
going up against teams that have less than 1 point per game. And
we just tied one of them.
Nobody knows how the rest of the season is going to play out. But to say now that there's no indication that we can make the playoffs is a bit dramatic.
The data. Listen, I know a friend of ours, and I think, you're in that chat too where he said this. A friend of ours said, I don't make my decisions based on statistics. That's fine. But if you look at the statistics, we're not going to win enough games to get into MLS Cup. Like, if we're only going to win 30% of the games overall.
But you're picking and choosing what statistics you're looking at. You're not looking at the total data set. Points per game is the only thing to look at, but we're in the top 9 now.
We are. But
right, so we've made the playoffs.
If it ended today, we'd make the playoffs, yes. I do believe the additional statistics that you bring into it say that number is going to keep on getting worse. I hope not. I want us to succeed.
We'll see. I don't think you can tell at this point in the season if we're going to make it.
And you know more than Brandon, you know me more than anyone else. I want to be in the playoffs. But as a frustrated fan who's looking at the math, I don't see us getting in. Well,
and I also know you, and I know that if we come in on a 2-game win streak in the next 2 games, you're saying we're winning the MLS. We're making the playoffs.
I have Maybe, but I've never said we'll win MLS Cup. Let's be clear.
Playoffs. I meant we will make the playoffs. And if we win the next two games, we could win a 1-0, 1-0.
And our points per game
barely go up. And you will say, All right.
I'm saying that. And I'm saying that because 1-0 doesn't satisfy my other problem, which is we're not scoring enough goals. Now, if we win the next two games by 2 or 3 goals, you will be right. 100%. I will change my tune if all of a sudden we can start scoring goals on a regular basis. But until that happens, because the other statistic I haven't pointed out is in the last 5 competitive matches, we've scored 5 goals. On a team with Messi, Suarez, Alba, Gressel.
But Messi didn't play what? He played one of those games?
3 of those games. 3.
Hasn't he missed like 4 games?
He played both Monterrey matches. And he played in Colorado. Okay.
So you're talking about making MLS playoffs, but then you're counting in Monterrey games. Like, let's be clear. Like, there's a big talent difference there. Like, and I get it. But if you want to talk about making the playoffs, like, I don't think you include Monterrey.
I mean, we tied.
And you don't count Nashville's CCC matches there.
Are they in our last? They're no. I'm counting our last 5. They're not in our last 5. It's New York Red Bulls, New York.
But what I'm saying
I get your point. Even then, well, if we've gone that far back, it changes. But I'm saying the last 5 games, we've scored 5 goals. 2 of those goals were on set pieces. I'm counting Colorado, where we did score 2 goals. That's helping the numbers. It's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing that it's not a problem. But I'm also like... I also think that in a league where most teams make the playoffs, especially now that we're not focusing on CCC, I'd be shocked if we actually take League's Cup seriously at this point. Like
we have to. Don Garber's going to make us.
I don't think. But see, the thing is Messi like comes back from international duty right before that. So do we even have him for the first couple of games?
But we don't have him. All the games after, we don't have him. That's Copa. Oh no, that's the Olympics.
Yeah, but we don't have confirmation that he's being called up for the Olympics, and everybody keeps bringing up the Olympics. He already has an Olympic gold medal. He doesn't need that.
Fair.
You know, like that's my thought on it. I just
think he wants more legacy. Like I think he wants more. So, and it's not
and Sean brings up the point that I'm going to make up is he's coming back next year. He's under contract. He's going to want to be in CCC. And the only way for us to make it now is if we make a serious run in MLS. That's it.
Can I ask, why does he want to be in CCC next year?
Because that's going to give him the most exposure. And that's going to be the biggest stage that he can play in MLS.
So this is Messi. The whole world knows who he is. The world doesn't pay attention to CCC. The American audience doesn't pay attention to CCC. They pay more attention to MLS and, unfortunately, League's Cup. I don't think I buy that argument.
So you don't think that he wants to come to MLS and when by the time he leaves, say I've won every trophy I could win? I think he does.
Okay, that's a good argument. I'll give you that. That's a good argument. Yeah, no, okay. And 2026, stated that way.
2026 is World Cup. So next year is the only window that he's probably going to have.
So my thinking was, and that's a great point. I forgot to bring my board. I will give you a point for that one, hands down. You get a point on that one. CCC mattered more this year for Club World Cup. And now we're out of that. And so that was my kind of my thinking of Messi.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say Messi may look at that and go, okay, we didn't get the thing I really wanted. There's no benefits of me subjecting my body to this beyond what you're saying. He wants to win every cup on every continent possible, which is a fair statement.
And so I don't know. I haven't looked at the updated table, but I do believe that there's one like at large CONCACAF spot.
So,
and I think if Inter Miami wins MLS Cup, there can be an argument made that they deserve that spot.
So I have I've struggled to understand this rule. I've read it a bunch of times. One thing told me that this is going to go to the team, the highest ranked team in CONCACAF standings that isn't already in, is one thing I read. It also gets confusing if Monterey wins this, if Monterey wins it all and is already in. I guess the Philadelphia Unions get in because of this. So
yeah, but they would take their CCC spot. It wouldn't affect this open spot.
So I guess my point is
random selection.
But I heard, read, the open selection was a CC. It was based on CONCACAF standings, not just the person in CCC CONCACAF gets to decide.
Oh, I didn't see that.
If CONCACAF gets to decide. Yeah, Messi's in. Like, I don't think anyone's going to really argue that point. Everyone knows it's going to be bullshit and it shouldn't happen, but it's going to happen. But that, from what one of the articles I read, and I know maybe one of our readers is going to comment here. I thought it was this: you had to be the top of CONCACAF standings, which we are definitely not. We're not that far down because of the League's Cup win. So I don't know how the losses to Monterey just affected it, but.
And I don't know what a winning MLS Cup would do. I don't know. Who knows how those algorithms are made and whatever.
But CCC, yeah. Anyway, so I don't know where we're going with that. So we've established that Tata needs to be fired. We don't know where Messi's going to get driven.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Pablo, I would say, so Pablo just wrote, winners need to continue to win. I get that Messi is a perpetual winner, and I need to diatribe on anger management issues in a second. But at some point, Messi also is considering the next 40 years of his life. And at some point, he's going to stop. And I just don't know where that is. I do have to say this, and I know we were joking about this online earlier. What is up with playing at Barcelona and having anger management issues? Because Messi's got clear anger management issues. We've seen that. Suarez, yes. And Alba might be somehow the hottest head of the four. Busquets has gotten in people's faces. I would say it's just a competitive athlete thing, but I feel like the four of them go a step above and beyond what you see from a lot of other athletes. Like it's actual anger versus passion.
So I think there's a couple things that probably factor into that. We probably have MLS is a much more physical league, and these guys have targets on them. So they're probably getting a little bit more abuse than what we're seeing, like, you know, when they're not on the ball, like getting an elbow here, things like that. But I also think that if I had to look at Tata and have him tell me, oh, just pass to Messi, let's play out of the back all day, every day, I'd be pissed too. I might try to get myself suspended like Alba did, so I don't have to see him.
Except the problem with that suspension he just got is I'm not actually sure. I'm not sure what he's suspended
from anything. From nothing, no, I don't think. Unless CONCACAF says, like, the next sanctioned event, which might mean Leagues Cup, I don't know. Probably nothing, though.
But I'm out of rum.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Alba looks like Bilbo Baggins. Can you? Hold on, I gotta put this one up. Mike V. Alba looks like Bilbo Baggins when he's pissed.
But... yeah, so I think we've covered all the pain that we want to cover today.
No, we haven't. We haven't talked about calendar yet.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, guys, we probably are not going to preview Sporting Kansas City at this rate.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not in the mood to deal with Sporting Kansas City. Like, I need a clean break.
Well, I have a fun note to end it on. So let's talk about calendar and then we'll go to my fun note.
So rumors got very hot and heavy today that we're looking at bringing another foreign keeper. I'll let Branton talk through who it is. I don't think this just because he screwed up one moment. Like
conversation's like, happened before. Like it Drake Calendar didn't pass the ball to Vasquez and Hendo called up Boca and said, hey, how do we make this happen?
He's like speed dialing them as they're there.
Yeah. Sergio Romero, before we get too far into this, like Skrilla saying, they're saying they already looked for signing a new goalkeeper, Sergio Romero from Boca Juniors. Older keeper, obviously. played at a lot of big clubs, very good keeper. And, you know, we'll see if there's any legs to it. A lot of people are very upset because they fail to realize that this conversation has nothing to do with Callender's game last night. It just kind of sucks that it had to happen or the news came out the day after this. But
I also think that it's not unintentional news came out after, like, this. We had talked about this previously. This rumor had been going around for a while. I suspect someone got
a new keeper. Yeah.
You talk about people blaming the defense, people blaming Callender that we lost, that Messi lost. All of a sudden that this rumor gained traction. I love Callender. Like, literally, you can see I've got his jersey on my wall behind me. I actually understand this. And yeah. I understand it from the whole conversation we just had about distribution of, as long as Tata's in charge, he wants a keeper who can distribute. That's he does.
Yeah.
It's part of his game plan. Callender isn't that person. Do I think this would be a huge mistake for our team long term? I 100% do. Do I think that this is going to allow us to win right now and solve all of our problems? I don't. But can I look at logically say that this does make sense? I can.
Yeah, it's a move that makes sense. It's, in my opinion, it's definitely an upgrade at the keeper position, regardless of how you want to play. I think Sergio Romero at this point, even in his older age, I think is a better keeper than Drake. I saw a lot of arguments. Oh, Drake's been called up to the U.S. men's national team. He's not capped. He's never played. Coming into training camp is a very different thing than actually playing.
And I will say, I thought this last night, and I think Ian Hest, in a chat we were in, said this too this morning. He actually was Ian Hest or someone else. He might have lost his keeper spot last night. Like, did keeper spot for U.S. men's national team. Sorry, let me be very
specific. No, I know what you're saying.
But let me be
specific. Good, like, clarification.
Did he lose it on Inter Miami? No, hell no. And Solana put out this thing like, should we bench him for CJ Santos right now? Because no, that's a stupid decision. But if you're asking yourself, if you're Greg Berhalter saying, hey, I need a third keeper and I can pick across all the American keepers right now, did that mistake burn and etch something into your brain? Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to trust him in the most important games and that happens, I'm sorry. I think it had an impact. Do I want that to happen? Let's be clear. I don't. I've talked to this man. Like, I've asked, when's he going to get his chance? I was so excited for him. I have a U.S. men's national Callender signed kit behind me. Like, I'm so impressed. This guy came from what he's gone through and gone here and he's got this shot. I want him to hold it, but I do have serious concerns that last night impacted it.
So, first of all, I don't think one play like that impacts your status with a national team. I think Berhalter's brought him into a couple camps now. He's clearly somebody that Berhalter likes. And I think as a coach, you know what a player is, and one play doesn't define a player. So I don't think it hurts his chances at coming into another camp or being a third keeper on a bench or anything like that. What I do think is it's probably an opportunity to realize that he may not be the keeper for how we want to play. He's not. And, you know, while I love Drake, I think the team is better with him on it for his on the field and off the field personality. You know, there are better keepers out there. And if we can get one of them, we have a very small window to win now. And if we can upgrade at the keeper position, I'm not going to be upset about it. I understand it. But, you know, it sucks to see a guy like Drake leave the team, just like it sucked to see Yedlin leave. But in the end, it worked out. We have a better right back now. So hopefully it works out like that.
So can I just hone in on one comment you made, which is, he doesn't fit the style of play we want to play. My hope is we don't make a change and then 3 weeks later, change our style of play. Because that will be a shame. Because he is a long-term investment for this club. Like, that'll be sad if we bring in another coach that doesn't require the keeper to be so influential in distribution. That really relies more on the defensive line and our play. See, so
the other thing too, is if you look at like football just everywhere, like keepers need to be able to play with their feet now. And that's where the game is moving. And so, you know, Callender's a great shot stopper. He's come up big for us in penalties, but I just, you know, it's almost like he's a keeper kind of stuck in this transition period. As the game moves towards a sweeper keeper, he's more of a shot stopper. And
it's funny because Mike just wrote too. Put that up there for you.
Yeah, exactly, Mike V. And you know, I think with the way that football is moving, you have a better chance of a coach being able to do something with a sweeper keeper than a shot stopper. Because just because you can play with your feet doesn't mean you can't stop shots. So, you know, I think if you have a more well-rounded goalkeeper, you're better off having that than somebody who does something really well and does something kind of bad.
So the only kind of counter argument for that, because I think it's a good argument. I think when you look at CCC, it's a really important argument. When I look at MLS, I do feel the keepers that are celebrated most in MLS are the shot stoppers. And I think at the moment, this league doesn't require the sweeper keeper as much as it does a good shot stopper. And so I think I know Drake is a good MLS goalie, but with a club that has larger ambitions, they might not be the right fit. Now, that being said, we don't have those ambitions now for another calendar year. Ironically, calendar year.
Yeah, but I think Sergio Romero, and like talking specifically about him, because like if we were making a move for somebody else with a lesser pedigree, then I would maybe have different feelings about this type of move. But with Sergio Romero, I think he is a good enough shot stopper to be more than adequate in this league. If anything, probably a top five keeper in the league easily. If with his shot stopping ability, but I think he also plays well with his feet. And so I think we're going to continue to try and play out of the, while we have Tata, and any additional manager is going to want their keeper to be able to play with their feet. And it just makes you more versatile. And you know, I think that's where the game is going. So, you know, maybe for once we can be ahead of something instead of behind something. Who knows?
That would be nice. I doubt it, but that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I do want, before we come, we're already over time, we haven't covered KC. Someone asked, I think, if you're a scroller, someone asked us our thoughts on the KC match. So let's at least take 5 minutes to throw out what we think is going to happen.
Well, let me, let's cool have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
So Sporting KC is fully ready for this game. As you can see, they're talking shit with their tweet. Some goat was trapped on a bridge and they're like, oh, I didn't realize Messi was in town. And in their latest game, they drew the Timbers 3-3, which, as we know, the Timbers are a pretty good team. And this game will not be taking place in their normal home. This will be at Arrowhead Stadium. So these are images that they put up when they announced in the offseason. We use these images, I think, in one of our first shows. This is what the stadium's going to be. It's an NFL stadium. This is going to be packed. It's going to be sold out. The expectation is that Messi is going to play. I don't see why he wouldn't. And it's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely crazy, and I can't wait.
I would add to this. I said this when we first did it. I expect this to be a very pro-Messi crowd. Kansas City is very Central America. Central of America. It is one of our – it's a World Cup location. It has a great draw of fans, and they're not going to be coming to watch Sporting KC when you don't put 70,000-person stadium and come to root the home team. They're coming to see Messi. So I think it'll be a very pro-Messi crowd. I think the team will be fired up, kind of going to the point of these are competitors. They just got their asses whooped. It's been very bad. This is the chance to turn it around. I do have a concern about rest. By the way, Brandt, I did answer the question. I don't know if I told you, I found the answer to the question. They cross flew. They flew to Monterey. They're going straight to Kansas City. Okay. I think that they went there last night. I think
that's what we both agreed would was a smart move.
Yeah, yeah. So I did confirm that. I expect us to win this.
Now, have you confirmed, is Taylor Swift going to be in attendance with Travis Kelce?
I think she's still on tour.
Ooh. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes will be there because I think he owns part of SKC, if I remember correctly.
Now I'm like looking up Taylor Swift Eras Tour schedule. No, I do think she's still on tour. It'll be one of those you're seeing. So I'm sure Patty Mahomes will be there.
Yeah, he does own it, part of SKC, just confirmed.
I'm sure you'll have quite a few big names there. If Taylor Swift's not her boyfriend, I assume they're still dating. We haven't heard anything about it since the NFL season ended. I assume they'll all be there. But I think it's going to be a pro messy crowd. I think this is going to look a little bit like the Orlando game, where the team just finally is going to wake up and go for it. I'm going to throw out there, though, I think this is going to be one of the few wins with a 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, however you want to say it. Wow. I think he's going to show up with it just to prove a point and go kick
Casey's ass. That would be something, wouldn't it?
But Rick, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and I hope he looks in the camera and he says, the Inner Miami show, this is for you. You guys are a bunch of idiots.
Well, come on, the world. Everyone's making the same comments right now. But yeah. I do think the 3-5-2 shows up again. And it works against an equal table opponent, not Monterey.
Yeah. I think he goes back to the back four is my thought on that. Because I think he burned three center backs. I think he's going to have to conserve a little energy there. I can totally see a situation where we see like a rotated midfield. Maybe we see, because Ruiz is available. So I think maybe Boosie might rest. We'll see Ruiz start. And I can definitely see like somebody like Afonso getting some minutes. Maybe starting up top with Messi and Suarez or Messi and Borjalin, or however he decides to line up, because I think there will be a little bit of rotation. But I think we win this game. I feel like we win 2-1, 3-1.
I just want to throw out, by way of research, Taylor Swift is not on tour. Not on tour.
I'd be there.
May 9th, it looks like it's her first date in Paris, starting her international tour. But she... Mm-hmm. She could be there. And if she's there, going to be interesting what jersey she wears. She's she's good friends with Patty Mahomes' wife now, I think. So she goes support the family, or is she going to go with them? She want the Messi jersey. We'll see.
Or does she wear the Travis Kelce jersey?
Or the Travis Kelce jacket, which was a whole, I don't know if you guys on Instagram. It was pretty cool. And the woman who made it.
Yeah, where she cuts up the old jersey.
Yeah, super cool.
That's pretty cool.
Or does she wear a messy jacket that she had custom made ahead of time?
Ooh.
But in all seriousness, I do think this is a big win.
We need the win. We need a bounce back here.
And I'm giving it to you. Like, remember you said, like, if this happens, I'll change my tune. I think this is the big one.
Yeah.
I think
it's too early to say must win game, but like, I think this is a game that we need to win for the players themselves to gain some confidence. And then also, like, the fan base. Like, we need a win here. We just crashed out of CCC. Like, let's put shit together.
And after that, you know, we kind of get back into our regular schedule, which is nice. We have some breaks week in and week out. But we start off this game, we got a big run of East opponents. Mm-hmm. We got Nashville, New England, Red Bulls, Montreal, like Orlando.
So games. You'd hope. Yeah. But new thing. I'm going to maybe add to the show. We'll see what the response is like. Just to finish it off, something a little more fun, just some fun stuff we found on Twitter this week. Some interesting things from around the league.
That's a scary thing to say, you found stuff on Twitter.
No, it's all MLS related. So the MLS MVP power rankings are out. And Luis Suarez is number one.
You called that.
But
you called it. Your exact statement was, we live in a world where you have Messi on a team, yet Suarez will be when the MVP.
I think it was last episode we talked about it.
Yeah,
you called that. Because he had just won Player of the Month for like the second month or something. But I do want to call out Lewis Morgan there at three. I do love seeing that. If an Inter Miami player can't win it, if Lewis Morgan wins it, I'm going to go crazy. That's awesome. Oh, Mike V, I hope we lose with Messi to get Tata the fuck out of here. I wouldn't hate that, man. That's a win.
I would.
That's a win.
I'm sorry. And this goes back to it. I know I'm the one saying we're not going to make the playoffs, but I really want to make the playoffs. Like, I do really want a crest, a star over our crest. So yeah. I hope we win. But I also want Tata out. And I'm hoping that what happened this week was enough.
We'll see. But the other two things are cool things that other MLS teams are doing. And I if anybody from the front office is listening, these are things that would be cool for us to do.
Okay, I got to say this Yeti thing. So St. Louis City is saying for $70, they'll sell you a Yeti.
It's $79.
Okay, $80. You can buy a Yeti, a 30-ounce Yeti with handle.
25-ounce Yeti.
Sorry,
25-ounce Rambler with handle, lid, and straw.
And unlimited soda and water. So
for the season.
I bought on Etsy a Yeti. I think it was a 30. I didn't know a 25-ounce. I got a 30-ounce, no handle, no lid, with Inter Miami's logo. They're not supposed to do that, but the guys did. I paid $60 for that. No drinks, no handles. Couldn't bring in the stadium. This is an awesome. First off, this is an awesome deal. Now they're doing it for sustainability reasons. Like, they're not making a big profit on this. This is for sustainability. It's got the logo on it. Like,
so
awesome.
I do want to include that it also is valid for St. Louis City 2 games played at the stadium.
Which,
so that's just an added bonus. And so they have stations you can go and fill it. And I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. And if we did something like this, I'd be 100% behind it.
We won't.
Yeah, we won't.
And it's funny because you know who the team I would expect to do this was Austin, because Austin's sponsored by Yeti.
Yeah, and Yeti's based in Austin.
But I think this is such a cool idea. Huge credit to City for coming up with.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is something like the league looks at and is like, this is something we need to push out because it's a really good message as well.
I'll tell you, if I traveled to a City game, I'd get one.
Yeah. Even for one game. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool souvenir.
Yeah.
And then Orlando, which is another cool one.
We hate to say it, but they nailed it. For their games on May the 4th, they have both Orlando City and the Pride playing. And they have these awesome Star Wars themed bobbleheads of Jansen and Marta. And you can either go to Orlando City for $28 or you can do both of them and get both bobbleheads for $48. Joker, we have a bobblehead. Unfortunately, it's our coach. He's absolutely right. but I think that's awesome, man. We don't do, like, our giveaways are just like the same bucket hat over and over again, or like a towel with like something printed on it, and like, you know, that's great, and we're filling the stadium now, but again, like, if there's people in the front office listening, like, this is the type of thing that keeps fans like engaged
appreciate.
Yeah,
it's awesome, it's simple, and it's funny, is they're not even giving away. It's not like the Panthers, they're charging for it, but it's still a cool thing. And you know how much, do you know how many Messi bobbleheads you'd sell?
Well, the $28 gets you a ticket to the match and the bobblehead.
Oh, I thought, okay, still. I think it's awesome.
So still, I mean, it's even better.
Even if the club said, hey, for $15, we're doing these Messi bobbleheads, they would sell out in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And the club would totally screw up the process too, but
yeah, I don't even care if it's a Messi bobblehead. Like, give me a Ryan Saylor Boba Fett bobblehead.
Okay, let's be clear. I'm cool with it. It would be a Messi bobblehead because the club only care. I think someone pointed out that the club didn't even do anything for Afonso's first goal. They only talked about Messi.
Yeah. And Tops did more for that for Afonso than the team did. But
I did buy those cards.
You know, I don't think we won't see this until after Messi leaves. We won't see anything like this because, hey, you know.
Throughout here, Mike V just said Mateo Rojas is coming. Listen, we're still waiting for official announcement. I have heard unofficially. We've heard the same thing, though. I have talked to people in the club that say it's happening, or at least alluded to it without saying yes.
We just can't confirm it right now.
Yeah. We're waiting for the confirmation.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it, put out there. It's happening.
He was at one of the games. It's probably his green card. Probably. Because that's kind of what we saw with Redondo. Rare. It held him up for a couple days. But I do think we will get some more news, team news, probably the next week.
I would almost say I think it's going to happen sooner.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, today's Thursday. Okay, I was thinking today was Monday still. Today's Thursday. I was just thinking when we usually record.
We're sitting on some stuff. That's all I'll say. Is we're sitting on some stuff. So, anyway, yeah, we're way over time. Chad's been firing off today. Thank you guys for being here. For joining us and watching and participating. You guys make the show a lot of fun and is the reason why we don't mind going over our planned out times, but
and not sleeping for like a week straight.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight?
Real quick. First off, just echoing, I thank you for listening. Those who are live, I so appreciate this was a late night episode. We went a little later. But I know that our viewers who listen on podcasts or just watch the YouTube and the shorts, it's really appreciate all you. There's a lot of shows. It's one of those things. There's a lot of shows out there. We appreciate you take the time to watch us. And the second thing I just want to say is, and this is kind of to those who are new to the fan base, criticism of the team does not mean we're against the team. It means that we actually violently support this team and we want it to be successful in the long run. And as people who have spent our hard-earned dollars to support this team, and in all of our cases, more than just buying tickets, more than just buying pictures, but like built shows and supporter groups, stuff like, we care passionately about this team, and we just want to be successful. We just want to see trophies. We want to win. We want to win now. We want to win later. People need to learn that criticism of the team isn't criticism of like the team and
or we criticism because we love.
Yeah. And we defend, and I get it. And someone who has probably over defends the center backs, like I defend because I love too. But yeah, I just
not as much all the I argue center on, backs.
I don't have anything. I think I love all the center backs. Even the ones with long blonde hair.
You love one more. You love one more.
I do love one
the more. Rest. You have a favorite.
I do. Everyone's got listen. You've got two going on three kids. You know you have a favorite of one of them. You won't say it out loud.
How dare you, Michael? How dare you?
You won't say it out loud, but I know you do. We all do. My favorite. Now, the good news with mine, when one kid, my favorite's also my least favorite. It's just how it is. I hurt you because this is the tagline of Inter Miami. I hurt you because I love you. Thank you, Mike V.
Mike, by the way, as always.
I don't think you were on the show initially. You got in a little late. We did call out that you correctly called the 3-5-2.
Oh, yeah.
Noah Allen in there. So
Nailed it. You
won this episode, hands down. You get the most points for just calling that perfectly. When no one else had the belief, you believed in Tata's failure. And you get credit.
And you'll get two stickers the next time we see you. I'll make sure Mike gives them to you.
Yeah. Well, he's not allowed to come to tailgate. He got too drunk last time.
Oh, well. We'll have LaCroix together. There you go.
Oh my god. Super random. I know we're gonna get it. So the Northwest Club has had these mojito LaCroix that are fantastic.
Oh, they're really good.
They're really good. And we were at Publix yesterday and TJ was with me and he goes, Dad, look, there's the mojito LaCroix. So I bought a case. I'm super excited because they're delicious.
They're so good. They're I have really them good. In my menu fridge right here.
Okay, so sorry. I know it's totally like random, but
love it.
Best thing the club has given to me this year so far is mojito LaCroix.
Yeah, that's it.
And on that note,
we are out of here. We will be back at you next week or sooner. We'll see.
Maybe there's some news breaking. We're ready to go.
Maybe.
Make sure you're following us on Twitter and make sure you follow us on YouTube for shorts.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if anything happens, that's where we will update. So we appreciate you guys. Have a great night, and we will talk to you later. We'll be right back.